Thank you, Brother Jeff. Good evening. It's good to see the church house so well filled on a Sunday evening. We bring you greetings from the Shrewsbury Dunkard Brethren Church. You can turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I just want to throw out a thank you for your prayers and your support for Bible Helps. I believe it was mentioned here about needing help. We still are in need of help. There is some movement. We're looking to the Lord. But we've expanded our search. Maybe someone with different talents than a printer would be interested, so we could use a general manager of the ministry and the business. There's a whole business side and a ministry side. Or we certainly need an editor, a real editor. I've been filling in on that for a while, or a printer and production manager. But we'd ask for your continuing prayers for that. God has provided, as with a lot of businesses, we struggle to get paper. We don't even ask the price anymore. We just ask, when can we get it? And other things like that, shrink wrap and various things. Like all businesses right now have problems, but the Lord has provided, and we haven't lost production on that. At this time, we'll read from 2 Samuel 5, 1 to 5. It's so good to see Brother Fred again. We're good friends, and he's a walking miracle. Many people that had the diagnosis he received are certainly no longer with us. And we know he'd be in a better place, but we're thankful he's still here with us. So we're very thankful to be able to come here, be with you, and also be with Fred and Diane this evening. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. With these thoughts on our mind, let us kneel as we pray.
We greet you this evening in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's a blessing to be with you. It's a privilege to be with you again. And I continue to ask an interest in your prayers. We come to you again this evening in the weakness of the flesh, but we trust in the almighty power of an almighty God, who loves us and supplies our needs, whatever they might be. We want to invite you back to 2 Samuel chapter 5. We thank Brother Bob for reading that for us tonight. And as you look on your program sheet, if you have one, the message tonight is after the anointing. What it doesn't say anything about an anointing here in the first five verses, but we learn from this book of 2 Samuel that David was anointed king, and he began to reign, and it talks about his reign here a little bit in these first five verses. So just what is the anointing? And I talked a little bit about anointing this morning when I mentioned the anointing service. That's different than what we're going to talk about primarily tonight. But I just might talk a little bit about anointing. I'm going to hopefully bring four different points to our mind tonight in particular. And the first one is the anointing itself. So as we think about the anointing in this particular context tonight from 2 Samuel, the Hebrew people had anointings for a number of things. One was for a king, and others were for priests. But for anointing of the kings at their inauguration, this anointing person signified God's blessing upon them and their service to God that would follow that. They were set apart. They were consecrated for that service, whatever it happened to be. And Webster talks about anointing, and some of the things he wrote about it was to apply oil as to a sacred rite for consecration. And I'm not sure, some of you may be better historians than I am on this, as far as the anointing of kings, whether they used oil or not. Some probably did and some maybe didn't. But certainly as we think about our church anointing service for healing, we use the anointing oil. So they chose these individuals for service, and it was a bit by divine election in those times. And Webster even refers to that. And then, of course, we have the healing, the anointing for the healing that we use in our services according to James chapter 5. But I'd like to encourage us tonight in this message to be faithful to whatever God has called you to as far as anointing. And we're going to learn as we talk about the scriptures tonight how it touches really every one of us here that have been born again. Not as kings as David was, but as Christians who are following Christ. So we want to encourage you in that, because there are some things that happened to King David after he was anointed king that run parallel and are pretty exciting things to what things happen to us maybe when we become a new Christian, or maybe when we've been called to a new position in the church. I was visiting with the brother who opened for us this morning from a different congregation. And he's a fairly new minister. And he said he might be listening in on the service tonight. You know, he's been in the ministry a short time. And the devil doesn't like it when you're anointed to a service for God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight as well. But in this anointing, here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we find something that was very interesting that happened right off the bat, and that is that all the tribes were united. It says all the tribes of Israel came to David. And when you find something like that, it tells you that there's a sweet spirit and a wonderful power behind it. These people wanted David to be king. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David, to Hebron, and spake, saying, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh." It must have made David feel pretty good. I would hope so. I would think that would be the case. And it says he was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years, 7 years over Judah, and 33 of all Israel and Judah together. So he was about my age when he stopped being king. So that's the anointing. And if you want to, if you're taking notes or whatever, or just thinking in your mind about it, each of these four different points are going to have A, B, C, D. So A is for anointing. The second one is B, and that's a blessing. So we're going to look at that, and it is certainly already a blessing as all the tribes came together. He said, "We're bone of thy bone and flesh of thy flesh." That's unity. That's a blessing. But we want to turn to 1 Chronicles, where it talks about this from a little different angle. And we're going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Several verses there. We'll begin at verse 38. And it says, well, the first part of this chapter we just want to mention briefly, and that is all the different tribes sent representatives to this anointing, to this coronation, you might say, of King David. There were thousands and thousands of men of war who came to this occasion. You read from some of the tribes, I'm not going to read it, but you can do that for homework. You know, some of the tribes may have had just a couple thousand come. Some of them had 20, 30, 40,000 men of war come to witness this anointing. And we're going to begin reading at verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart. Notice that. What a blessing to Hebron. To make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. What a blessing. I'm pretty sure the enemies of Israel weren't real happy about that. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. Notice this last phrase, for there was joy in Israel. What a blessed occasion. I wish our country that were that united, don't you? What a blessing that would be. So it was a beautiful thing. And I believe that was probably the case with many of us here when we became Christians. Think back in your mind of that time when you gave your heart to the Lord, or maybe that day when you were baptized, or whatever the occasion was, it stands out in your mind. You know, it brings joy to your heart still when you think about it. And we weren't anointed as like a coronation for a king, but we were anointed for something even more special than that, I believe. That is, we became a child of God. We became a child of God. So I can remember, I just want to share a little bit with you. It was a beautiful fall day in 1962. It was back beyond some of your being born, but Elder Brother Jimmy Cake arrives from the Bethel congregation. And I walked down into that little stream in the meadow down there in Carroll County, Maryland, on the Harry Schweitzer farm. And there he baptized me. And after the third time under the water, I came up and he laid his hands upon my head and he prayed for me. He prayed that my sins would be washed away, and that they'd be taken away, and that I would have the power of the Spirit of God to come upon me, to guide me and lead me, and also that my name would be written in the book of life. I can remember it as it were yesterday. And Jimmy and I walked up out of the stream, and my dad and my mother were there, and they took me in their arms, and their tears mingled with mine, tears of joy. And they sang a song, you know, maybe it was at least one song. Everybody was singing, and everybody was happy. And the angels in heaven, the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one sinner that is saved. I believe the angels were singing. It was a happy time. It was a blessed time. It was a blessing. There was joy in heaven over one soul. And brother and sister tonight, that's better than a coronation. That's better than a coronation. I'd rather be a child of God and maybe a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than be king over a nation. But you need to mark it on your calendar. You need to circle the date in your heart or in your mind, wherever it might be. You need to keep track of that date. And you need to write some scriptures down. Maybe scriptures like 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. A greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're going to need those verses. The anointing is a blessed time. The coronation is a blessed time. But there's more coming. And Philippians 4:19 says this, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by what? By Christ Jesus." Psalm 119 and verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Mark your word. The blessing is there, but there will be offenses. But don't let the offenses hinder your blessing and your joy. And then in Matthew chapter 3, we want to turn there and we want to read concerning something that was very special. Matthew chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 16. This was after John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down the path, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus told John the Baptist that he was going to baptize him. John was going to baptize Jesus. And this caught John a little bit off guard, I believe. And John said, "Well, I need to be baptized of you, you know, and I'm going to be baptizing you. That needs to be the other way around." But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness." And he suffered him, it says in verse 15. That means he allowed him to go ahead with the command that he had given him. And in verse 16 it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a blessing. What a blessing. Now, that didn't happen down in Carroll County, Maryland, when I was baptized, but it was special to me. But I'm sure this was a very special time for Jesus and John the Baptist. I don't think he'd ever forget that. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, everybody was happy, except the devil. Except the devil. When I was baptized, when you were baptized, and when Jesus was baptized, the devil wasn't happy. And that comes to item C, and that is a challenge. After the blessing, it's not unusual to receive a challenge, to receive a real challenge from the enemy. We're going to go back to 2 Samuel for just a little. Second Samuel chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading verse 17. I had my marker in Chronicles where I left off, and now I need to get back where I need to be. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold." In other words, he went to a place of safety. And I believe he was crying out to God. "And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So the Philistines, when they had heard that David was anointed king, they weren't happy either. They probably had some memories of this man. He had done a few things with the Philistines, and he was going to do some more things that weren't real good. But the Philistines decided they were going to attack. And this is, you might say, typical of the enemy. And when we're born again, you can expect an attack. There's a blessing there. Don't be discouraged. If you're a new Christian, if you're a new minister or a new deacon, whatever the case might be, don't let the devil discourage you. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Philistines were going to attack. And I can, I can remember a few instances. Bear with me a little bit tonight. But I can remember, it wasn't right after I was put in the ministry, but it was, well, there was one of them too, but we were preparing to go to Pleasant Ridge, Ohio for revivals back in, I think it was 1982. And the week that we were preparing to go, something happened that we weren't planning on. We were awakened early in the morning, it was still dark, by a stench of skunk smell. And we were in upstairs bedroom, and it was so strong it made our eyes water. And we were kind of at wit's end. We looked to see what happened. It was a surprise. We hadn't smelled skunk around the house any time before that. Longer story short, at that time we lived in an old farmhouse that had a porch on the back side of the house, and there are some holes that skunks could get in under the porch. And beyond that, there was part of the house that didn't have a basement under it, but it had a rock foundation and a crawl space that I'd never seen, but the skunks had seen it. And they got through the rock foundation somehow into that crawl space that was above the living room, which was underneath our bedroom, and something stirred them up apparently, and it created a bad smell. But we were getting ready for revivals. 2 weeks of revival. So Diane had the clothes, all cleaned and they were ready to go. Only now they smelled terribly like skunk. And the dry cleaners wouldn't take them. They said, take these home and you air them out. And after a while, if they smell better, bring them back and we'll clean your suit. It was a terrible thing. We even got some smell stuff from a funeral home to make the house smell a little better, and that got smelling old by the time we were ready to leave. I started putting traps around. My wife moved out. Talk about revival, getting ready for, and your wife leaves you. And so I would sit in the pickup, a couple nights with my gun just in case I would see one, but I was sleeping, I was preparing for revival. And finally, I killed, these critters. And until I was done, there were 10 skunks that were underneath our house. That was the challenge at that point. So anyway, David went to the hold. It was a place of protection. And David sought the Lord's help. And I did too in an incident there. But it reminded me of a time back in 1962 when the missile crisis was going on. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember that, the Cuban Missile Crisis. And John F. Kennedy was president, and of course the Russians were bringing missiles toward Cuba, and President Kennedy set up blockade and so on. Won't go into all the details, but I remember hearing that President John F. Kennedy and Senator of State Dean Rusk and the Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, they all went to Camp David down in Maryland. Camp David was a hold. It was a place where the leaders of our nation would go, and there were several of them across the country. But it was underground, you might say, bunker where they could go and they could talk about war or whatever that had to be done. And everyone kind of was on pause. Our nation, some of the world. What was going to happen next, because, it could be the brink of a world war or something. There was a lot of tension. Listen, young brethren and young sisters, if you are challenged by Satan, go to the hold. Cry out to God. Maybe it's your prayer closet. Maybe it's somewhere where you can get away from the hustle and the commotion. And you can think and you can pray and cry out to God. Maybe it's with your friend. Maybe it's with your parents. Maybe your parents, if you see your children troubled by something after they're a new Christian, or even after they've been a Christian for a while, meet with them and go over the battle plan that you want to stay faithful to God, you want to have God's help, cry out for his mercy, cry out to God, enter into the hold with God. So we find Jesus, after he was baptized, what happened? We turn back again to the gospel as Matthew recorded it, and we find that the devil came, and Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And we find in Matthew chapter 4, and we're not going to read it in detail, but he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil tempted him, and he didn't give up easily. But Jesus was victorious. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along. We'll touch on it more tomorrow on this scripture, so we don't want to go into it too much in detail. But the tempter came to him. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these bread to be made into stone." And he said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from the pinnacle of the temple." And he said, from the top of the exceeding high mountain, he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, "If you'll fall down and worship me, you know, I'll give you all this." Well, Christ created it all. You know, that was a kind of a dumb temptation, I think. But Jesus didn't yield to that. Jesus was victorious. And that's why he is a perfect succorer for each one of us. He's a perfect savior, and he's a perfect help for whatever our need might be. He's going through it all. It was Friday evening, April the 5th, 1974. And Brother Emery Wirtz from Colorado and Brother Dale Jamison from Quinter, Kansas, came to Dallas Center. And they laid hands on my head for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an anointing, not with oil, but it was anointing that brought a whole new realm to my life. I was a little bit scared, and yet I trusted in God. But I felt the strength of God. And if you're new in the ministry, I'm going to share this with the hopes of helping you. And I want it to be an encouragement to those who aren't even in the ministry or even deacons or whatever. But not long after that anointing, we went to General Conference like we usually do. And at that conference, there were lots of people. And we were walking around and thinking and meditating. And I heard some people talking. Some brethren were talking. They didn't know I was there. And they were talking about a new minister at Dallas Center. One of them said, "Here, there's a new minister at Dallas Center." And they were talking about this new minister, and they said, "Well, it could be a flash in the pan." I thought, "What?" And the other person said, "Yeah, flash in the pan. We'll see. We'll see." And I thought, flash in the pan, you know. And I looked it up later, and that's a sudden burst of fire, and it goes out, you know. Or another definition of flash in the pan was if you're panning for gold, you know, and you have, like the old timers had a pan, they'd go like this, you know, and look for something that sparkled. And sometimes it's just a flash in the pan. It wasn't real gold. It was maybe mica stone or something else, you know, and it wasn't worth a penny. And I left. You know, I don't think they ever knew I was around. And I left. I went to where we were staying. I went to the hold. And I cried out to God. I said, "God, I don't want to be a flash in the pan. Help me to be genuine, you know. I want to endure. Help me to be faithful." And the Lord gave me some verses, and I'll share them with you tonight. You know, and one of them was from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, where God encouraged Jeremiah. Jeremiah wasn't sure he could do it. And I don't want to compare myself to Jeremiah. I'm just a pebble on the beach compared to Jeremiah. But this is what God told Jeremiah. He said, "Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And I believe he is there for all of us. When the devil challenges you, remember that God is the one who gives you strength. God is the one who will give you peace in the midst of turmoil. God is the one who can give you assurance when there seems there is no assurance at all. God is there to deliver you. And that's what he says here in Jeremiah 1:8. "With thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And that brings us to the final one, and that is D, the deliverance. Let's turn back again to 2 Samuel chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 19. We already read that, where David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, and I will countless deliver the Philistines, doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And I think that's a pretty important verse there. It may seem to you it's coincidental, but I don't think it is. The Philistines left their gods, their idols, there and either fled or were destroyed by David's men. And what did David and his men do? Say, "Oh, look, we can take these home, put them in our closet." Oh, no. They burned them. I tell you, there's some spoils of the enemy you may find some value in. Nothing that goes against God should be saved. Destroy it, whatever it is. The devil will tempt you in every which way he can to hold on to something that you shouldn't have. After the challenge, allow God to deliver you fully. Destroy the enemies, gods, whatever they might be. And then it goes on to say, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." Now, we have a lot of mulberry trees in Iowa. I don't know if they're pretty prolific. They kind of come up pretty easily. So there were mulberry trees back then. And he said, "Go over against the mulberry trees, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shalt the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou comest to Gezer. An important lesson here, I believe, when it comes to the deliverance. Maybe a lot of lessons. Wait patiently on the Lord. David didn't get in a hurry. He inquired. The Lord said, "Do it this way." And so he did it that way. And he received the victory. And sometimes, in my living, I get a little impatient. You know, I think, well, I think I need to just do it this way. And maybe the Lord is telling me, just wait. Maybe I need to look for the signs in the tops of the mulberry tree. That's kind of an interesting scripture there, but I appreciate it. So in Matthew chapter 4, we find the deliverance as well. And the blessing that came with it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. I don't know how you picture this, but In the temptation of our Lord, I kind of picture it this way. Bear with me. You know, the angels, I think, were viewing this all the time. God the Father, I know, was. And Jesus is there. He's tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. He's hungry. The devil comes. He says, you know, here's stones. You can make them bread, can't you, huh? What about it? Bread? Stones? No problem for you. You created everything. I don't know how he approached him. And the angels are watching. I believe if it were possible, the angels were sitting on the edges of the clouds, you know. What is going to happen? They're looking, they're viewing this scene. You know, some people in this country sit on the edge of their seats at a sports arena, and they just can't wait to see what's going to happen. What a small thing compared to what was happening in Matthew chapter 4. I believe the angels were looking. What's going to happen now? And they see him on this high mountain, and the devil shows him, you know, Satan shows him all the kingdoms that he could be king over on earth. But it wasn't his time yet. What's going to happen now? And Jesus tells the devil, get lost, basically. And the angels come and minister unto him. Oh, my. I think that's a wonderful, beautiful scene. Beautiful scene. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, Paul says this, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 10 said this, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee, what? A crown of life. The coronation to the anointing. And it's for everybody. That is for everybody. In Matthew chapter 25 in verse 21, Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. After the anointing, the challenge, the deliverance, but remember the blessing. It is there, the reward, the blessing. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1 also. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That sounds pretty challenging, I think. Forth as lambs among wolves, but he's going with them. Remember that. Then in verse 16, we're going to pick up and read again. Luke 10, 16. He says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. These are Jesus speaking. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that your spirits are subject unto you, that these spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And as he said that unto the 70, I believe he would say it unto you and to me tonight, to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. That is the greatest blessing that we will ever have, that we will ever even hope to have. I'd like to read in conclusion from Acts chapter 20. If you turn with me there, if you care to. Acts chapter 20. This might be more to those who are in ministry, but there's a lesson here for each of us. Paul says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The Apostle Paul was concerned for the church. And I want each of us to know here tonight that as God has appointed men over you to bring the word of God and to direct the affairs of the congregations, God has your interest in mind. I want to encourage you to pray for those who are in leadership over you. And I want to encourage all of us to pray for those who are young in whatever position they have. And I want to encourage each of us to pray for those who are new Christians. The day and age in which we are living, there are many temptations. There seems to be more than it was when I was a new Christian. Probably every generation has its own challenges. The world is becoming exceeding wicked. Close to what it was, I believe, in the days of Noah and also in the days of Lot. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for steadfastness. We need to pray for blessing, for deliverance, for victory. The Lord revive us in those things. And tonight, if you are here unsaved, please consider our Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you might receive a blessing. The challenge will come, but the blessing is greater, because greater is he that will be in you than he that is in the world. Tonight, if you are here and unsaved, and the Spirit is moving you to accept Jesus as your Lord, I want to extend an invitation hymn. And while that hymn is sung, stand where you are. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, stand where you are, raise your hand, or come forward. What shall we sing? Number 84 in the green hymnal. Thank you for that hymn.
Please stand for closing prayer.